Welcome to the Align Business Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, CEO of personal branding agency, Pinegate Road, and business coach to online service providers, coaches, and educators. I know that you believe that living a great life is so much more than the business that you lead or the money that you make. Each week, we'll dive into what it actually takes to live an aligned life with a business that supports it. Let's do this. This show is brought to you by the Align Business Academy. Are you so ready to go all in with your online business and hit six figures this year in a way that feels fulfilling and true to you? Apply now for the Align Business Academy. This is our signature program that helps you scale your online business with one-on-one and community support, a framework for learning all things online business, and a proprietary three-part system for scaling while working way less than you are now. Say hello to more freedom, income, and impact. Apply now at pinegateroad.com/academy. That's pinegateroad.com/academy. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. I am pumped to have you here with us today. So, I have one of my very favorite internet humans on the show today, sharing about her story and her expertise in helping people really step in to the lives that they want to be living and claiming the success that they want to see. And yeah, she's just incredible. Her story is incredible. There's so much just growth that has happened for this amazing woman, and I am thrilled to have her sharing her story today. So, a little intro. This is my good friend Latisse Hudson. She is a business coach, leadership mentor, and social sales expert. Latisse is on a mission to help women make more money, increase their impact, all while living a life that they love. A woman with wealth is a woman with power. Latisse specializes in helping online coaches scale past that coveted six-figure mark by leveraging high-ticket evergreen group coaching offers. In her free time, she enjoys relaxing on the beach, dancing to the latest TikTok trend, and investing in digital real estate online. So welcome, Latisse. I am so excited to dive in and just, yeah, have this conversation with you. So let's dive in. Welcome, Latisse. I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, Kelsey. I'm so excited to be here. You're like one of my favorite people ever. So I'm just pumped to be here. I'm doing super good today. It's so sunny here in Scottsdale, and I'm just excited to chat with you today.
Awesome. Me too. You're one of my favorite people. And we met in the drum roll DMs on Facebook.
We did. How ironic, right? Shocker.
I know. So I'm so excited for you to like share not only about your story, but I think you have this like amazing skill for connecting on social media. And that's like one of the huge things and how you've built your business. And I can't wait for people to learn how fun and connective and all of that can be. And it's just cool because like now look at us, like we're here being friends and like doing business stuff, and it all started in the DM. So yeah, just good stuff. Okay. So you have an amazing story. I want you to share it. How did you, first of all, kind of decide to be an entrepreneur? How did you start growing your business? How did this all come to be? Because you have grown in such incredible ways, and I'm just blown away with everything that you're doing. So share your story.
Thanks, Kelsey. Yeah. Everyone always asks me to like, when I go on podcasts and other interviews, to like share your story. And I'm always like, which part of the story? Cause I have a very lengthy story, but I'll keep it brief. So just a little bit of backstory. I'm born and raised in Chicago, grew up there, in Chicago and in the suburbs. And then I graduated college in 2015 with my bachelor's degree in human resource management. And I always knew that there had to be more than working behind a desk. But honestly, like I was stuck in this like this rat race of corporate. I had worked at Target since I was like 16 years old, had really advanced there. Honestly, like I love Target so much. It taught me all the leadership skills that I needed to go out and be successful today. But I worked there from about 16 to 22. And I honestly like was like, okay, there's got to be more, but I didn't know what that more was going to be. So what did I do? I moved from Denver or from Chicago to Denver to be with a man. That didn't work out, but that's okay. We all have those stories, right? Moved to Denver, was there for about 3 years. I ended up getting another corporate job, 2 additional corporate jobs. And at one point I just was like, I can't do this anymore. This is back in 2018. I was, you know, 24, 25, and I had the 6-figure corporate job. I had the 700 employees. I was working 50, 60 hours a week. I was living the corporate dream, everybody.
But that's
thought.
So cool. But, like at that age too, yeah. To like, have 6 figures, be managed. Yeah. 700 employees. That's incredible. Like, yeah. I think there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, I got laid off and I like had to be a full-time entrepreneur, but you were like living the corporate quote unquote dream, you know?
Yeah. Like no kids, no husband, just like, you know, living the dream, but also drowning in $50,000 in student loan debt. So it was on the outside, it looked like I was living the dream, but on the inside, I was like, I was literally miserable. And I can't even count how many times I was just like, I can't do this anymore. But I didn't, for a long time, I didn't see a way out. So fast forward, that was at the beginning of 2018 when I really was like, I'm not, had just transitioned into that new job, but throughout 2018, I was like, there's gotta be something more. So I had 2 other businesses actually had started in like 2017, which was really cool. Cause I started to get that side hustle bug. I was like, I want to make some more money, pay off this debt a little bit. I kind of skipped over that part. So I started a car share business. If you guys have heard of Turo, and Get Around, I had a little car share business. I had 4 cars. I had that under my LLC. I was renting those out. I was feeling fabulous. And then I also had a business where I had e-com. So I was like reselling stuff on Amazon and eBay. So that kind of had sparked my entrepreneurial dreams and like, wow, I could actually make this full time. But again, I was nervous because I was like, it's only me. Like, I don't have anybody else like to be able to help me out. So finally, like over the summer in 2018, I really just was like, okay, something's got to change. I need to take radical ownership of my life. And it's not sitting behind this desk and working for somebody else. So I just put together a plan. It's terrible, but on my like lunch breaks and stuff at work, I would sit in my office. I wouldn't go out to lunch. I was packing my lunch because I wanted to use every ounce of my day to create this exit plan. So what I did was create an exit plan. I quit in September 2018, but I had a 90-day exit plan. I had money in the bank, right? Not that much, but I had enough to get me through for a few months. I said, okay, hey, I'm going to take the skills that I have, the business that I have. I'm going to network even more to get my name out there and to continue to grow these businesses because I wasn't a coach at that point. And then I quit in September 2018. So I know that's kind of like a lot and a little bit of a time, but that's really like my journey. I have a big family, but I'm not super close with my family, single, no kids. I just was kind of out in the world on my own. So that's really kind of like a little bit of my backstory.
That's awesome. And so when you left your corporate job, did you go full time with those 2 businesses that you had? So it was the car share and the e-commerce.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that able, like, did you grow it to a point? I did something similar where like I was growing my business while I was working corporate and I had, you know, I think I did like a year of savings cause I was like really scared. And so I was like, okay, I have like 1 year to do this. I'd been growing that business, but were you making enough to like cover what you wanted? Like, how much was coming in before you decided to leap?
Yeah. So pretty much what was coming in was around $6,000 to $8,000 a month. And so it was good. Like it was good money, but looking back, I definitely probably should have waited because I got myself in some really like sticky situations because I was trying to grow the business, hire a part-time team member, but also pay my bills and pay the business expenses. So I wasn't really accounting for all of that because I still had all that cash flow coming in for my full-time job. So when I quit and only had like, you know, $15,000 saved, that went really, 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 really quickly. So
yeah,
looking back, I would have done things differently, but I don't regret how I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. It obviously worked out. And right. I mean, everybody has that different like level of risk, and like, they're going to figure it out once you get into those situations. But I just like, I'm always just so curious. Like, I had to have like all of the buffer and I still got myself in like a really sticky situation about a year in and ran out of my money and didn't know how to like actually run a business. It was like, yeah, I have lots of podcast episodes on all of those failures. So go back and listen if you would like. But I just love hearing that, like how you can make this happen. So, okay. So you're on your own. You were, I love also that you were like, I'm going to immediately hire people and jump into this. So that is a big next step for a lot of people. So how did you feel about hiring people? I know you were already managing people in corporate. So was that just natural for you? How'd you go about that?
Yeah. So the leadership piece in managing people has always been really like natural for me and innate. Like it's not something I've ever really struggled with. I obviously, we always have room to grow, but it's something at 18, I got a supervisor role at Target. So since I was 18 years old, I've been managing or supervising people in some sort of capacity. So that part was easy. And long and behold, my team never went unpaid, but I ended up having to, they were contractors. So it was a little bit easier to give them like a 30-day notice. Mm-hmm. And I'd let them, I only had one, well, I had two, and then one ended up leaving to go do something else. And then one ended up, you know, we just ended up parting ways because I was going in a different direction when I decided to become a coach. But overall that, like the leadership piece was really easy. It was more so like looking at the actual back end of my business, looking at the finances and things that I wasn't super familiar with, where I made a lot of mistakes at the beginning. So definitely learned my lessons there, but the team part was amazing. And I'm always so quick to hire because I know delegation is the quickest way to get to the goals that you have set for yourself.
Yes. It's a lesson I had to learn. Like so many people are like, I don't want to manage. I don't want to delegate. It's too hard. And it's like, oh my gosh, like that is your key to actually living that freedom fueled life that you desire with the time freedom and all of that. And it can be a big mindset leap to get over that. But I feel like once you start doing it and you see how it can work and you do, you know, you really set those expectations and lead your people, you can see how wonderful it can be on the other side. And then I started getting like addicted to delegating. Like I delegate everything.
Absolutely. I'm even like my assistant, she's going full time in May right now. And she's going to be half administrative and half like personal. Like she's really going to do my grocery shopping, like my ordering and all of that. And it frees me up to be in my zone of genius. So I'm always like lead from the front, choose your heart. And if your goal, when we look at your big vision, is to have more time freedom in your life, you can't do that alone. So anybody that's looking to hire, just know that there is definitely going to be some pain points in there. So don't expect to get it perfect. But as you grow, as you expand, your team is going to be able to do the work, right? You're going to hire the right people. And it's all about you continuously, you know, developing your own leadership skills. And then also, right, hiring people like director of operations or other members of your team that can do the managing so you can truly fully embody and stay in your zone of genius. So trust me, y'all, it gets better, I promise.
Yes. I learned that with my agency. I have Janet, who is my amazing human. And she manages the team. And that was the game changer. As soon as I was able to not have to like worry about checking off all of those projects and tasks and all of those things in Asana, I was like, ooh, this is the biggest thing. And so now we have our director of operations in the coaching business. And I finally just like, I feel like this year started getting that team really in place. We went through like a big transition recently from contractor to employees. And so just as of like the past, like 2 months, I've been like, whew, like we're doing this and I'm getting, this is why I brought the podcast back.
Yay. I love it.
I finally have the time to like do the things I've wanted to, in my business. And okay. So let's talk about the transition from your two businesses to coaching, what that looked like, all the things.
Yeah. So like I said, I quit my corporate job in September 2018, was running my businesses through the end of 2018, but then January rolled around and I was just super unhappy. I was like, there's no way I went to college and spent all this money on college and all this time like developing my leadership skills to be running a car business. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I did it for like 2 years, loved it, had tons of friends that do it and kill it. But I just knew my skill set needed to be elsewhere and I needed to be changing lives in the way that felt fulfilling for me. So I don't know if y'all know Amanda Bucci. I remembered her. She's a big coach and she was in the fitness space for a while, but she's now okay. A lot more spiritual now. But when I was following her, I saw that she became a fitness coach and was like making all this money. Like I hit her first 7 figures at like 24, 25. I was like, there is no way. Like I really was like, this is a scam. Like, why is she lying? Like I love Amanda now. Like we're cool. I talked to her here and there. She's awesome. But back then I didn't know her personally. And I was like, this is a scam. What is she talking about? But then I was like, let me look into this. And then I just went down the YouTube rabbit hole and I was like, okay, it's not a scam. I need to do this. I was like, I could do this. So I was like, I'm a business coach, right? I had no idea what I was doing. Hired my first coach. And then it was so funny. My first coach, Sam, she was like, because I was in this weird spot. I still had my other businesses. I still had to make money. And I was very depressed at the time, not taking ownership for my life because I just had gotten in a rough spot. Because I was like, I'm exactly what everybody told me I was going to do was fail. And I felt like a failure. And it was so hard. Some of my closest friends were like, you are so stupid for leaving a 6-figure job. Literally, one of my friends said that to me. Until this day, like, we're good now. But he literally was like, you're so stupid for doing that. So I let all those voices and all those stories eat at me. Literally, they ate me alive. But I was like, I've got to pull myself out of this, right? So I figured out this coaching thing, hired a coach with like my last dollars. And yeah, it was a game changer that got me to where I am today. And one of the things that she told me was like, you can't do all of this, right? Because I had my econ, my Turo business, and then I was trying to coach. And I was just spread so thin, but I also was like, I don't have enough money in the bank, right? So we made a timeline of getting out of those businesses in about 60 days. So in April 2019, I liquidated those other businesses, sold cars, sold inventory, and then I was full on launched my coaching business in May 2019. So it was a crazy ride to get there. I had worked like one-off sessions and stuff at the beginning of 2019, but I launched my signature Elevate one-to-one program in May 2019. So that's kind of like the transition. I was really skeptical at first and all those things, but here we are.
Yeah. I get like DMs and emails from people and they're like, I have a really hard time believing that this life that you live is real. And I'm like, yeah, I promise it is, but I'm also just like a very normal mom, like sitting here in my like home living room area. Like, I don't know. It's like my life is not, I love my life and it's like not this like crazy glamorous thing.
And it's so funny because it could be or it couldn't be. You never know. But I think why I thought it was skeptical, not that Amanda was not out flashing Lamborghinis or she wasn't doing that, but I would see people talking about like affiliate marketing and coaching and all of this. And all I saw was the flashy. I'm like, how do you have time to like, if you're making all this money, how are you out traveling and in Lamborghinis with skinny women on like cars? Like, how are you, like, how does that make sense? But I finally found my people of the internet where it's not all flashy all the time. And it's been great to be able to find my people. But at first I was a skeptic. I was like, there's no way people are using their own expertise, making all this money and working from home. I was like, I just don't believe it. But finally I did believe it. I don't know what actually clicked for me, but I was able to believe it and now I'm here. So thank God for that.
That's so exciting. And I love that you also like, you had the entrepreneurial background, you have the leadership background. It's like all of those things that you were excelling at and then putting it together in a package that like really flowed with who you are and where you want to grow to and just what you're awesome at. And I think when you get that mix of all of those things, it's just really cool to see like the growth that can happen when you do that. So
yeah, 100%. It's been so cool to see over the last like 2 years. I'm like, it's only really been 2 years as of next month, which is insane because it feels like it's been like 5 years, but it's only been two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was that, but then also you've been running your business, you know?
True. Yeah.
Somebody called me an internet grandma once, and I was like, this is accurate. Because like I have been running my business since 2011. I was like back in the day, like one of the bloggers and things like that.
That's
awesome. And so they were just like, you've been through it all. And I'm like, yes, I have. And so it did not happen quickly for me. It was like a very long journey. I feel like in internet years, because I see all the people who are like, I made 7 figures in six months. And I'm just like, oh, that is not me. Like that's not happening for my trajectory, but I am going in my own little timeline here.
And you're perfect, right where you need to be. It's so crazy seeing people, even when I like have made, you know, mid 6 figures in less than 2 years, we'll be hitting 7 figures in this year. So in less than 3 years, a 7-figure business, like in history, like that is just like crazy speed, but I feel like it's slow. Like, cause I have clients that have made 7 figures, my personal clients, faster than I have, but I love it. Cause that means that obviously I'm fully capable of it. And it's really cool to see, but it's like, you see the 7 figures in 6 months. You're like, what am I doing wrong? But you're not doing anything wrong, but it's crazy how quick the internet moves.
There's this, and I don't know if you feel this feeling, when I was wanting to hit my first 6 figures, it was like, I'd wanted to for like 3 years. And I was just like, this year is going to be my year. And it was all of a sudden, it was like the year that I did, it almost felt like it was not this thing that I was pushing for. It was just like a duh, this is it. And it just like, it didn't even feel like a big deal that year because it just like was, and I don't know how to explain that feeling. And I feel like the same thing is happening this year with the 7 figures. I've been pushing for so hard for like now another 3 years. Like, when am I going to hit the 7 figures? And like, I'm going to do it and have the plan. And then this year it's just like, well, duh, it's happening because like all the numbers, all of the, like, you know, the marketing pieces and the team is built, like it's all there and it's just happening. I'm just on the ride for it to be there. And I'm like, it just feels very natural, which does that make any sense to you?
No, it absolutely does. It's so funny because we hit our 6 figures like in like maybe like 8 or 9 months, maybe 10 months or something like that. And then the next month I had a $96,000 month in sales. So it's like, I did 6 figures in like less than a year. And then I did it basically in the next month as well. So we hit 200,000 in less than a year. So that was really awesome to see. And now like, we're definitely going to hit 7 figures by, you know, the end of this year, but I personally was never pushing for the 6-figure mark personally, because I had already kind of tasted it in corporate.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a little bit different in your business, but like, I was like, oh, sick. Like, obviously I have a 6-figure business, like, duh, I want the 7-figure business, but I'm not really pushing for it. I've never really pushed for it. I've just been like, yeah, like the 7-figure business, like it's a natural progression. Like, that's just what's next. So I feel like the thing that I would potentially push for would be like an 8-figure business. But you and I have talked about that. I don't even know if I want an 8-figure business. So we'll see. But right now it's like 7 figures, let's go. Like, it's already here. So I totally get that, because if it's something that you want, it's just like wanting something so bad and it not happening. And then, like you said, finally just releasing and accepting that it's already here. It happens so much quicker and so much more naturally once you do that, like accept and release. So
yeah,
totally makes sense.
And I think there was, in the past, I felt like 7 figures was this thing that I was saying. And I was like, yeah, sure, that'll happen. But I never actually had it down on paper for like how many I needed to sell and what is the team that we need in order to do that? And what kind of marketing do we need to put out there? And how often do I need to show up and do our launches in order to reach these goals? And this is the first year I went into this year and I was like, well, duh, like we have these marketing things planned out and I have the team in place. And like, the whole stage is set for it to happen. And that has never happened before. It was more just like, cool, I'll push as hard as I can and hope the sales are there. And this is the first year where I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm actually designing my business to get there. And it is, and it's happening. And whether or not we hit it, like, I don't care. I just know that like, we've set the foundations to make it happen, and that makes the biggest difference. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
and we were, we'll continue to talk in private about your 8-figure dreams.
Yeah. I think it's going to happen. It's more about the fear of like, oh my gosh, what does 8 figures even look like? But like, let's just get to 7 figures first. And then we'll think about 8 figures, but it is on, you know, maybe the 10-year plan. So good. 5-year plan.
Okay, good. Because the last time we talked, you were just like, nah, I'll stop at 2 million. That's enough. Yeah. And I'm like, it can be enough, but like, why not go growing? For
more? Right. Cause then I can give more back. And that's,
yeah, really it's not about thing. Like you,
me
it's
pocketing about, it all. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's more even about, if like, I did want to pocket it all, just shout out to all of y'all. There's nothing wrong with that. If you did want to pocket it all, because society wants to condition women to think that if you want more money, that you're greedy. And that's the complete opposite.
Mm. So, yeah, I do have a hard time talking money outside of our circles. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I dated a guy last year and it was like that 96K month that we had in June, 2020. He was like, oh, that's cool. I was just like, this is freaking amazing. Like, you don't even make like half of this a year. Like, not that I was shaming him, but like, I just thought he would be so excited for me. And that's when I knew like, this is not it for me, because it's like, this is like the biggest month ever. Like, we should be celebrating, going out to dinner and popping champagne. And he just was like, that's cool. He was like, it's so funny, cause you said you were going to make this much money and then you made it. That's really cool. And then just, what about his day? I was like, okay, you're a douchebag. Like, not for me.
Oh.
But anyway. So funny.
I think my husband like sometimes just thinks I'm like making numbers up. And when I was like, yeah, babe, I'm going to make $1 million. He's like, cool, go do that. And I'm just like,
okay. At least he encouraged you. This guy.
Oh yeah. Like,
okay.
He does, but he just like doesn't get it either. Yeah. So I'll tell him our big wins and things. And he's like, cool. Like, we have our nice wine that we pull out from the basement and celebrate. Not now, because I am not drinking as of this moment. but yeah, I know. We also have our little, how are you doing with your health stuff?
Oh, okay. So good. I had wisdom teeth surgery last week. But so I've been out of commission for working out, but I'll be back at the end of this week. So, but yeah, I'm down like 10 pounds since February. And that's like not including like the weight I probably have lost since my surgery last week. I haven't weighed myself, but I can just feel that I'm down a little bit more. But yeah, we're like consistently working out 4 to 5 times a week.
Awesome. Drinking
our gallons of water. We're crushing it. I'm all about, my clients even know this if they're listening. We talk about moving our bodies. And cause that was like the biggest game changer for me last year, making like our biggest revenue month. And I know that sounds crazy, but there's so much energy behind like actually moving your bodies and honoring your commitment and like creating the life that you want by taking care of the vessel that's going to fulfill that life that you want. So I'm really big into that stuff. So I'm not like a fitness fanatic, but it's about like just movement and treating your body well. So it's been a game changer for me and my business for sure.
Yeah. And I've seen it from the outside and you inspired me. so I was like, okay, I'm going to do like kind of the 75 hard, except for not that hard, but I'm at least quitting the alcohol for now, because I was having all my wine every night and almost every night. And that was not good for, you know, the vision of the CEO version of myself, that I want to be stepping into. So I started this. You're my little accountability buddy.
I know, we like checking every week. It's so fun. It's nice having somebody who is focused on it too.
Yeah. And it hasn't been easy. And I don't know, I haven't really like talked about the alcohol stuff, but I definitely like throughout the pandemic was using it as like a kind of like a coping, like, oh, like I'm stressed out. Like I'll have a glass of wine. And it just like started growing to be more of a natural thing that I would turn to. And I just started seeing it. And I was like, okay, like this is not how I want to be growing into the future. And so it was hard. I think I'm 40-ish days into it, maybe not that much, maybe 30. But for a lot of the first couple months or the first couple weeks, it was like, okay, I want a glass of wine right now. Like that was my natural go-to. So it was, I had to like say it out loud and then say like, no, Kelsey, like, we're not going to do that tonight. Like you can go get a tea or you can go do some stretching or go for a walk or something like that. But it was a habit I had to like break myself of a little bit. And I'm still working on it.
I'm so proud of you. Ah, I wish I like wine makes me so sleepy. So I never drink wine.
Oh, really?
Anything at all. Yeah, I don't really drink at all, but I do like wine. It just makes me so sleepy. So I think for me during the pandemic, my habit was like, I mean, I started working out more. So that was like I kind of fell off at the end of last year, but I picked it back up at the beginning of this year. So yeah, I think that for me, it just is, you know, keeping my body going. So that's been my biggest, like, I guess, good habit. So thankful for that.
Love it. Yeah. You've been a huge inspiration to me. So thank you for sharing what you do out loud for all to see.
Of course.
So I would love to ask you, so kind of going back to your story, like you were starting your coaching business and you have a really cool story of just like, okay, I have no audience and I'm going to grow. And you like grew really quickly. So for people who don't have a huge audience, what do you suggest they do to start actually landing higher end clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was in a pickle. I was like, I need to pay my rent. Like I had enough money, but like, it was just enough to pay my rent. I needed more like to eat, live, car payment, all that. So I was like, okay, I got like 30 days before all my bills are due again, and I need to figure it out. So I looked at my Facebook personal profile and I was like, I had all these coaches on there. And I was like, why don't I use what I already have? I had tried Instagram, actually it's kind of funny. I got my first ever high ticket client from Instagram, but Facebook was just where I naturally felt more comfortable. So what I did essentially was like started, I deleted people off my Facebook that were just like old high school people, like druggies and people that I didn't want to be associated with. I deleted all those people that were just not really adding value to my life. And I said, okay, over the next 30 days, I'm just going to grow this profile and I'm going to show up online video and I'm going to talk to people in the DM. Literally, that's what I did. Nobody taught me to do that. I just figured that part out because if there's anything that I was good at yapping my mouth. So I was like, I'm going to use that as leverage. So basically what we also teach now, but what I did to go from my 3K month to a 20K month, like the next month, was essentially, like I said, clean out my Facebook personal profile. I got that all branded up like as nice as I could with Canva graphics. I didn't have a graphic designer yet. And I basically started leveraging other people's Facebook groups where my audience was. So at the time I was working with people that wanted to create a side hustle or, you know, like just a business on the side from their corporate job. So I went into Facebook groups, just was up all night looking at different Facebook groups, requested, got in. And then I just started adding value into those groups, right? I call it like input output value, but I just started adding value. And what I mean by adding value, I like to be a little bit more granular because a lot of people say, I just added value, but like what type of value? The value really was that say somebody had a question like, you know, how can I actually make time for my side hustle? Or what would be the best side hustles for me? I would go in and give them like maybe three or four different options. I wasn't pitching them. I wasn't being pushy or salesy. I just truly would go into their like aid and give them the answers that they were looking for. And then the critical piece that a lot of people miss when they're going into other people's Facebook groups, etc., is they just stop it. They just give them the value and then don't ask for anything back. The critical piece is like asking another question back, because the more that you get people engaged, the more safe that they're going to feel, the more likely they're going to break their barriers down and the more that they're going to open up to you. So, hey, like, blah, 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 gave you all the value. Which one most resonates with you, right? Asking a question back, because then they're going to feel safe, seen, and heard. And that's all of our key needs, is to feel safe, seen, and heard. And if you don't feel that way, you're going to be less likely to open up to a stranger. So tapping into that, because I took a lot of psych classes and stuff in college too, tapping into that, I was able to use that to my aid. So I'll stop there. But that was like the first critical piece, was like getting my little profile branded up, starting to add the right people to my profile, and then literally going in every day for an hour to like about an hour a day at minimum. I would do more sometimes just because I was in a spot where I had to grow quickly. And then I would just spend all my time building these relationships and connections and then bringing that conversation to the DM if it made sense. So that's really what I did.
I love that. And I love that it's like, they weren't people that you knew before. It was all strangers. Like you created this space where conversations could happen. And similarly ish. I did not go on Facebook, but I did have some connections from my corporate world because I was in design and people were hiring freelancers and all of these things. And when I was in my pickle of needing my rent money the next month, I just emailed like every person I ever knew and ever talked to. And I was in art school. So a lot of my friends had gone and worked for agencies that were also, you know, hiring freelancers. So I emailed all my friends. I'm like, does your agency like need any extra work? And that is really how I started getting my months rolling. And I started getting retainer projects and higher end website designs and things. But it really started with me being proactive about starting those conversations. And I think that's, you know, what you can't just wait for people to be coming to you and like finding you. It's like, you have to go out there and be the first person that's going to start that conversation and really ask, like, how can I support you? Really? It's like, I'm available. Like, I'm open for business.
Yeah. That's the most critical thing. Like, is like asking, like, do you need help with that? After you get to a point, you know, in the conversation where they're obviously like raising their hand, they need support and you know that your service or your offer can help them. It's, you know, asking them, do they need help with that? And the crazy thing is so many people, especially newer coaches that get into this space, are seeing these like unrealistic sometimes that some of these gurus make it out to be. They're very unrealistic. Like, I'm not saying 7 figures in 6 months is unrealistic, but it's more than likely not going to happen, or even 6 figures in that first 6 months. I've had clients make it happen. It's definitely possible, but that's like the top 5%. You really have to be out there. It happened for me, but you've really got to be out there and wanting it, and not just wanting it, but taking the action to get those results. And it really boils down to, with no audience, if you don't have an email list, if you don't know how to do ads, like, it really is leveraging the free platforms that are available to you and then getting really scrappy, getting really gritty with it and letting people know that you're open to support them and help them, because they always say networking is like so key. Just like they said that for careers and new jobs, it's the same thing for your business, is being like, hey, I'm open for shop. Like, let's go. And like being unapologetic about the work that you do. That is what made me like skyrocket my business so quickly, because not only did I have to like pay my bills, but further than that, like, I was on a mission to help women, right, create more wealth with their side hustles. And now I work with coaches, but same story. It was really that underlying message, because I knew that for me, like, creating more wealth and all of that was what's going to, especially as a Black woman, like, help me be able to do the things that I need to do in this world. And being broke was not part of that mission statement. So yeah, that really was like the fire that lit underneath me to make it all happen.
I love that. And I don't know if you found this too, but it's almost like I started my business and it was like, okay, let's just survive. Let's make the money. And as things start to grow, it's like you start to get these different layers of safety or normalcy kind of like under you. And it's almost like the legacy work that I feel like I'm doing now, I didn't even have in my brain until I got here, because it just wasn't even like part of what I wanted to, I just couldn't even fathom it. I was just so in like, let's pay our rent. Like, not how can I impact, like, you know, the patriarchy and all of these things. And now I'm like seeing it day in and day out. It's, you know, helping other women, like you said, like, gain wealth, find that time freedom, be able to take control of their lives and put those big dreams that like, maybe we don't think are possible, but like, heck yes, they are. And really making it happen. And yeah, it's just that legacy work. I feel like it happens over time. So it was not something I had in my brain for a long time.
Right. Like, it happens in layers for sure. Right. I'm getting to the point where we're launching a podcast and doing all those other great things, but you don't necessarily start off that way. But the quicker that you can release like the need to control everything, the quicker that you can release, like, so AKA hiring a team, right, the quicker that you can release the need of being perfect. I know I struggled with undiagnosed perfectionism for so long. The quicker that you can get to doing your life's work. And that's really what we're here for. so often I hear women say that they feel, you know, unaligned. And it's so funny we're here, you know, talking about alignment with Kelsey. And I think it's really important that sometimes there are going to be parts of your journey that feel unaligned, because it's work that is difficult or work that's uncomfortable. But when you look at it in the big picture, it's work that's going to get you closer to your purpose. And sometimes you just have to do some of that work to get to where you want to be.
Yes, absolutely. And I call it the intentional hustle, when you're intentionally going into this spot in your business or your life, and you're like, I am choosing this, and I am, this is not fun. It's like, I'm going to wake up early and do this thing and be uncomfortable in this spot, but I know it's for this bigger picture. And I think sometimes, you know, hustle culture, online hustle culture, tells us like, just work all the time, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, what is that actually adding up to?
Yeah. No sleep, 3 a.m. Like, no, that's not healthy.
No. There are moments when that happens, of course, and you're tired and you're working through these spots, but
you want to
make it intentional.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said that, making it the intentional hustle. That's super
and it also, with me transitioning to employees, that was another thing where it was just like, okay, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to be in it with the team, and we're forming this whole new, like, our culture and team dynamics and SOPs and all of the things was like changing up. And I knew I was going to be working more than I wanted, you know, in an ideal life, but it was that intentional choice to do that, so I could get to that next like layer of safety and foundations.
Yeah, the greater gain. Absolutely. Yeah. And it happens way quicker when you just go in and like get it done, instead of like pondering on how much work you have to do. Just get it done. And then now you can live a more, you know, stable and peaceful and more freedom filled life.
Yes.
It's always worth it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, now I'm filling my extra time with podcasts and conversations with Latisse.
I love it. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So I think we're just about wrapping up here, but do you have any last things that you want to like, I guess we wanted to talk about DMs, but
did we
cover that kind of, or?
A little. Yeah. I think the last little piece I can add onto DMs, I know it's like all the rage right now, like no sales calls and selling in the DMs and all of that great stuff. I definitely think it's so possible. Obviously we do it. I've been doing it for a while now. I would say to any of you that are, you know, maybe brand new or a little bit more early stage, I know that's who you work with a lot, Kelsey, and as well as I would say, don't, you know, try to rush their process trying to start selling straight in DMs, because you may feel very defeated at first if you don't have a foolproof, you know, proof of concept, if you've not really sold your offer much. So know that it's going to be your next step, but don't try to necessarily make it your first step. If you're a little bit more new or early stage, work your way there and you'll get there. I mean, you can get there in 3 months, 6 months, a year. Our clients transition there pretty quickly as well, but don't beat yourself up if you're not selling in the DMs from day one, because it will happen for you. Just know that there are steps to the process, and definitely like get to know your ideal client, get to know your customer, get to know their wants, their needs, their pleasure and pain points, get to know all of that, and then transition over to selling in the DM. So that would be my only little bit of like advice, because I'm seeing a lot of that go around. A lot of people don't want to do any sales calls anymore, or don't want to take that extra step to build the relationships. They just want to sell, and like we get the sell by serving first. So that's really like the 2 cents that I would add to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I teach to do sales calls, just as my blanket statement, teach to do sales calls until you've hit 6 figures. Yeah. And that is usually going to give you enough time where you can build those relationships. You can actually, I think there's a big thing where you're holding space within those sales conversations, and you're learning how to say the money and say the numbers out loud and really feel confident in what you're doing. And that is such a gift. And that is what sales calls did for me. I was all, I would just like sit there with huge pit stains in my shirt for like so many times. And now it's like, it's no big deal. And I only got to that place because I went through those uncomfortable conversations and said my numbers out loud and held space while people just said, that's too expensive. Period.
Or hung up on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely, it's a little rough sometimes, but the roughness is worth it. So
exactly.
Yeah, I'm right in alignment with the six figures. And then
it's about that. It's like at that level, like you've usually gotten to know who your person is, how you're marketing to them, what their general, yeah, struggles and visions and goals are. And then you're like, cool, I know this person. Let's go to the DMs or wherever else you want to go. So
yeah. Maybe you go to, you know, whatever, FaceTime, I don't know, but yeah, I think that's like so perfect. And then when you do transition, like make it a transition, you got to be fully bought into it, you know? So not that you can't do both, right? I think it's important, but once you're, you know, transitioning over that, you're fully bought into this is how I sell now and, you know, really owning that.
Yeah. Awesome. So another thing I want to ask is like, you're a CEO. I'm a CEO. Like we are doing CEO things. What does your life look like in your business as that CEO while you have team doing the doing? Like what are your days and weeks and things looking like right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we just hired a director of operations. Shout out to Kelsey. Thank you for the recommendation. So she just started last week. So she's brand new. So we're getting her all caught up to speed, all that fun stuff. But starting really in May, I will be doing less of the, not that I won't be doing leadership because I'm thrive with leadership, but also being the face of the brand, we're going to be going through a massive rebrand. So I'll be spending a lot of upcoming time working with our brand strategist and our designer on that. And then also during my days during the week, really it's Tuesdays and Thursdays are like coaching calls. Mondays are like my CEO day. So I'm looking at numbers, meetings, checking in with our team, checking in with our clients. And then Wednesdays are like half day. I like to do a lot of like external self-care. So that really looks like nails, hair, lashes, waxes, all those great things. And then I usually, like I said, I do a little bit of work content creation, but it's usually a half day work day. And I don't typically do too many calls. I may do a podcast or something like that as we are here today. But yeah, that's really what my week looks like. And then Fridays are like a free for all, like whatever I feel like doing. If I don't feel like working, then I won't work. If I do, I will. But yeah, that's my week. I usually am at 25-ish hours a week and loving life. So that's really what my weeks look like. They're pretty chill. Now that hopefully it's, you know, vaccinations and all of that, I will be traveling more here in the near future. But yeah, that's really like what my week in life looks like. I don't have any kids. So that may not be realistic for a lot of you if you do have kids, but I don't have any children right now. So I have a lot more freedom in my weeks.
Yeah, but and you're still running. You have all of the team and all of the things. True. And it's like, yeah. I mean, we have a very similar schedule and I do have a kid and yeah, it's all possible.
100%. I think it's all possible.
Yeah. The kids, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. And I know we've talked about that behind the scenes.
I always like to preface it because some people are like, you're so lucky you don't have XYZ. And it's like, well, yes, like that also, you know, we all have choices, but at the same time, you're like, your kids are not going to hold you back from living out your dream, right? I wouldn't want that for anyone. So I always like to preface it, but also, like you said, it's so possible, whatever situation that you're in, it may just look a little bit different for you.
Exactly. And we have moms all the time, like our parents coming into our program and still making their seven figure dreams happen. And yeah, it's just like, I really think that next level comes down to the delegation and getting your team. So you are showing up for what you absolutely need to do and what your genius work is, and then having the system structure, everything else in place. One of our clients is hitting like on track to hit her $1 million this year. And she had a baby in January. Like she's just rocking it. And it's so cool. Yeah. Yes, and she started from zero, a year and a half ago. So it's just that's crazy, but wonderful. And
so wonderful.
All possible.
It really is. Like if I could do it, you could do it. Everybody else could do it. We can all do it. And it's just about, you know, taking that radical ownership of where you want your life to be and not settling for anything less.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Latisse. If you have one, I don't know, final message to leave our wonderful audience with? What would you like to share with them?
That's such a great question. I would say it really would be like, you know, demand excellence from yourself and be relentless in all of your goals and don't let anything or anybody stop you from like operating out of your big vision. So that would be like my final little message.
Yay. Thank you so much. And where can everybody find you on the internet?
Yes. I'm usually hanging out over on Instagram at Latisse Hudson. I think you guys will put it in the show notes.
Yep.
And then also in my Facebook group, Elevated Women Entrepreneurs, completely free. So hop on over there. I'm usually in there giving loads of value. So that's where I'm at on the internet.
Yay. Yeah. Latisse is so fun to follow because she's always going live, always just like sharing all of these amazing stories and just everything. So you're awesome to follow and highly Thanks, recommended.
Kelsey. Thanks, girl. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Latisse. This was amazing to have you, and I hope you have an amazing day.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a few seconds right now to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's so simple and helps us so much. This is incredibly helpful for getting the show into more ears so that we can make even more impact. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have an amazing week. You've got this.